birds. Is the bird in your backyard a genius? Jennifer Ackerman thinks so, and so do I. And why does Jutzi Leitner want to send his little robot bouncing on the moon? Is he serious? The Science Show on RN, and Jutzi is at QUT designing robots, but he's also a politician of sorts. Tiny bit of history. What have you got to do with the Pirate Party?
I started the Pirate Party in Austria a long time ago.
And what does the Pirate Party do?
I don't know what it does right now. Back then it was the idea to educate people about what intellectual property rights are in the digital media forms.
Let's talk about your robot. QUT, the Queensland University of Technology, is a centre, a great centre of robot work. What is your robot and what's it got to do with the moon?
So we're building a robot which is called the Lunaroo. And it's a 10-centimeter cube, and it's meant to hop on the moon.
Why would it want to hop on the moon?
Because what else do you want to do on the moon?
So it's just going there to have fun, or is it going to do some research there as well?
It's definitely going to do some research as well. So the moon has a sixth of the gravity of Earth. Given that you have a spring which jumps about a meter on Earth, it would jump 6 meters on the moon. So by having this elevation, you actually can do beyond horizon planning. You can see things that you couldn't see when you're on the ground. So you can do some scientific observations.
So it would be looking, it would be recording and sending back messages.
Yes, there will be cameras on it. It will try to take a picture of the rover. So it will take a selfie of the rover. It will do some image reconstruction. It will measure some of the compression of the surface and hopefully some more science.
You see, what's it look like?
It's a 10-centimeter cube. It's a black cube so
just
far.
Just a cube. It's not, you know, like R2-D2 or anything like
that. No. It's just a cube right now.
And there is competition, so you don't necessarily have the way forward. Who are you competing against?
We are part of the competition because the team that we want to fly with is part of the Google Lunar X Prize. There's about 15 teams that compete for that prize. On the mission itself, on the rover mission, there's about space for 2 to 4 secondary payloads. And we are really in a good position there. I don't want to say anything more, but I hope we're going to get one of these 4 spots.
When will we know?
Hopefully soon. There's no date announced yet. I hope by mid-next year at the latest.
And when would there be a takeoff?
Very close after that, actually. So we are developing the payload already and hope to get selected.
Tell me about the mission. It goes to the moon and does many things, I presume.
Yeah, so it goes to the moon on a rocket. The team itself, the rover from a European team that's vying for the prize, has to go more than 500 meters to collect the prize, has to send back HD camera images and hopefully do something nice scientific as well. Our mission will hopefully be part of it by providing some scientific pictures from different view angles of the rover while the rover sort of roams around on the surface of the moon.
Hopefully. So high definition for how long, how many months or weeks or days would you send pictures?
For our mission, we really just want to do one single hop because we are basically using student labor, built this thing. We are not a commercial entity. We want to just do a prototype that does at least one hop with one image. The 500 meter rover from Part-Time Scientists, which is the team that builds the rover, hopes to be there at least for one lunar day. So that's 14 days.
And you say students, what level are they? Paid PhDs or are they undergraduates or what?
So when we started the project, which was a bit more than a year ago, it was mainly a few academics interested in seeing what we can do, you know, interest in space science, interest in robotics, how can we push this forward. The main work has so far been done by undergrad students, so bachelor students here at QUT, plus the help from 2 or 3 postdocs.
How do undergraduate students know how to fashion a robot that's going to bounce around on the moon?
Well, they come up with crazy ideas. Good and crazy ideas, and then we test them, right? So we have a few PhD students and postdocs in the loop, and they say, well, this doesn't seem very right, or this is a very good idea, let's try it. And then we build a prototype.
And that must be tremendous fun, and we've talked about similar sorts of experiments in the past on the Science Show, where you've got all the promise, all the fun, and then you look around for the space industry in Australia, and what do you see?
Well, there's a big hole there, I think.
Nothing.
Yes. So I think you can't go only so far from a university point of view, right? Launching a rocket costs a lot of money. Building this prototype is possible, but building a functioning system takes a lot more effort afterwards.
So what do you tell your students about what's going to happen next and where they're going to go with this expertise?
The students are very keen on exploring how to build robotic systems, right? Robotic systems are also in harsh environments on Earth, like going underwater, exploring the reef, for example, or going in the jungle, hopping around branches. the expertise of building a robot is not necessarily restricted to space. But I think the argument of sending something to space excites some of the students to actually put in the extra effort to build something that's really novel.
Just a general question on robotics and how much the debate goes on about replacing jobs and such like. Do you have a feeling about that? Do you talk to your colleagues here in robotics about the future and the way that robots may or may not be changing our work habits and taking jobs away?
Yes, definitely. I think part of being a robotics researcher is to educate people about what we do and why we do what we do. So definitely we talk with other researchers, but also with the general public. And basically the idea, I think, is that we always use tools as humans, right? Well, since we basically came out of the caves. And for us, robotics is just the next version of a tool that's a bit smarter, that does things for us without actually us knowing exactly what we want.
That could be a difficulty because while you're not knowing what you want, the robots might just sort of take over certain functions that we don't necessarily expect.
Yes, but we might not precisely know what we want. We have a rough idea, right? Let's say you want to go to a pub in Brisbane. You don't know which one exactly. So you ask Google, for example, what is the best pub in Brisbane? And it will tell you, right? So this is something that a tool is taking over some information from us, which is not complete, and makes a decision based on that. Robots will do the same.
And robots like driverless cars?
For example.
What do you think of them?
They will come, definitely. The technology is there. I think the problem is more the law.
Going back to the moon, can you remember, I'm not sure I've actually checked this recently, have there been many missions to the moon in recent times?
That depends. There has been missions that go into orbit around the moon. On the surface, there's one been recently, about a year ago, the Chinese have landed a rover on the moon and have encountered that the moon is a very harsh surface to survive.
It seems like an old-fashioned thing to go to the moon these days.
Yes, although there's been recent progress. The new head of the European Space Agency was very keen on building a moon village. So instead of having the International Space Station, you would put a habitat on the moon and have international scientists working on the moon.
Then you'd have lots of jobs for robots, wouldn't you?
Exactly, and roboticists as well.
Europe on the moon. Can't help feeling Brexit has come at exactly the wrong time. Jutzi Leitner from Austria, now at QUT, with Luna Roo, the bouncing marsupial robot.